recording this Teams-based presentation, and that available later this week on the bondholders' website. So I'm going to start commencing the audio recording now. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to do some introductions of other colleagues later, but my name is Steve Noonan and I manage the finance activities of the company. And I'm going to take you through the first part of this presentation. The first thing I want to bring your attention to is the important notice and disclaimer. We've put this on the bondholder website, so you may not have the opportunity, you won't have necessarily the opportunity to read it in full detail here, but I would urge you to do so when it is published on the website. Thank you. So next slide, the contents. It's pretty self-explanatory and indicates the nature of the material we'll go through today. There will be the opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. Okay, so let's move on to the agenda. So we'll present you with a brief reminder of the project, which may be familiar to many of you, the key operational and financial issues that have been facing the company over the past year, and we'll also address the outlook for the company. As I mentioned earlier, there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. And for those of you using Teams, you could use raise your hand symbol, but I think there may only be one person joining or who has joined, so or at least that group of people. So just ask as and when. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. Yes, well, welcome, a more formal welcome to you. This is the 8th annual investor presentation, and we have with us today Daniel Pirris, who represents the equity investors in the project, being various Dalmore managed funds. You'll also be aware that Graham Farley resigned as a director during the past year, and he's been replaced by George Tasker, who cannot be with us today. George is also a Dalmore employee. I'm accompanied by colleagues from Frontier Power, Mike Edgar, who's the technical director, and Tim Price, who isn't mentioned on the slide, but is available with us today, and he's the financial controller. In addition, we have Samantha Baxter available, who represents IML, the accounting and company secretary of services provider to the project. Mike will provide the voiceover on operational matters and the outlook, and I will deal mainly with the finance matters. Other colleagues will be available for questions at the end as necessary. As noted on the slide, the presentation uses various industry acronyms and other abbreviations, and these are defined in the appendix to this slide deck that you can consult as necessary when it's published. Moving on to the background. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I'll provide a brief reminder of the project. This is a slide which we included in previous packs, so it may be familiar to you. There have been no changes since the last investor report, and indeed really the last investor presentation. The project is a transmission project and is separate both operationally and commercially, which is very important from the wind farm. As the slide shows, the wind farm is capable of providing clean, renewable energy to approximately 350,000 homes, but that can't be delivered without the transmission system that the WAS transmission project owns and operates. The project transmission assets comprises the offshore platform, two subsea cables, two land cables, and is connected to the wind farm at the offshore platform end and to the onshore grid owned by National Grid Electricity Transmission PLC at the land end in Heysham. WAS Transmission has a perpetual offshore transmission license, which was issued by the authority with a 20-year revenue incentive term. And as shown on the slide, it was issued in 2015. As mentioned, the equitable interest invested in funds managed by Dalmore. Frontier Power provides management services to the project. Okay, the next slide gives you a brief information on the shareholders, management service provider, and the financial and administrative provider. Dalmore will be a name familiar to you, and at the end of July had over 5.7 billion of assets under management. Frontier Power, who I represent, are engaged to provide management services to the project, and our people have a wealth of experience in utility sector generally, and electricity transmission in particular, and we provide a similar service to four other OFTOs. IML provide financial administrative services to the project and are experts in provision of these and other management services to the PPP PFI sector. So moving on to operational performance, I'm going to hand over to Mike, who will take you through the performance over the last 12 months. Mike.
Thank you. Good morning. So first of all, I'd like to just brief you of the current situation as far as health, safety and environment. So the O&M contractor that continues to deliver HSE management for the offshore transmission assets owned by WADS. Since asset transfer, the performance has been excellent, and there are no reportable incidents that have occurred. So WADS is managing and discharging its transferred obligations under the marine license successfully. So in terms of more detail of what's going on with the outages this year and maintenance, and the first thing to say is that the majority of the work onshore and offshore has been undertaken successfully. There were a number of exceptional items that I'll run through now. So the first of which impacted Circuit 1. There was an unplanned outage which occurred between the 7th of May and the 25th of May following a fault on an asset called a voltage transformer. So this is an auxiliary piece of equipment that's used to monitor the performance of the overall system. The faulty voltage transformer was replaced with the spare voltage transformer that was originally intended for the planned replacement of a different transformer. The failure of this voltage transformer is a highly unusual event. And just to really bring that out, this equipment is typically got a life of 40 years with very minimal maintenance requirements. So it is a very unusual event. We are undertaking a root cause analysis of this. The asset concerned is being shipped to the Siemens German factory where a root cause analysis will be undertaken, and this will allow us to complete our exceptional event claim to recover the availability that's been impacted. Now, just again on Circuit 1, this relates to an original outage that occurred in 2021. And we've needed to undertake a series of investigations to understand the nature of the issue as time has gone on. It's quite a complex investigation. But as part of this, we took a short duration, 1.5 day outage to perform the final tests between the 8th and 9th of August. And I'll discuss the implications of this in the coming slides. It is fair to say, whilst we had these unplanned and planned outages, we have maintained Circuit 1 and introduced or continued with some planned work, taking advantage of the fact that the circuit was out. So that was completed successfully. The headline for this really is that the forecast availability performance for the year ending 31st of December 2023, calculated on the basis of the reporting to the authority, is not expected to fall below 98%. Just to underline this, this takes into account the impact of outages through to today and assumes no further outages for the remainder of the performance year. So I suppose just some more routine things now that we normally report on. All the equipment warranties have now expired, with the exception of the 400 kilovolt switchgear remedial work that was undertaken in 2019, and the warranties associated with that work are expiring next month. The assets concerned, however, have performed as expected satisfactorily. We have any concerns regarding the success of that remedial work. To underline the risk mitigation activities that we have in place. So in the event, in the very unlikely event that we do need to undertake some marine work concerning the export cables, we have what is called a preemptive marine license, which allows us to expedite any works should we need to. So this is very much a risk mitigation thing. There's no expectation of any deployment of any activities concerning this, but it's there should we need to. It's a bit like break the glass in case of emergency. So moving on to the bathymetric work, as noted in the slide deck here and in the investor report, the last survey was undertaken in October 2020. And we don't have any further information to report in terms of the status of the seabed and cable coverage currently. The bathymetric survey for 2023 has now been completed, and the report and analysis is being prepared, and we're expecting that to be completed autumn 2023. moving on to some other items which are, I would describe as opportunistic from our perspective, is that the generator Ørsted had identified some issues with their array cables, and they have undertaken some rock stabilization of the cable protection system as it runs down from the platform to the seabed. So the way that they have proposed to manage this is to use rock to stabilize the situation and protect the cable from sea movement. And as part of that, to enhance the or reduce the risk that's prevalent for the export cables, is to undertake rock stabilization at the same time at a heavily discounted price. So what this means is that if there are any issues concerning the cable protection system, the rock stabilization that has been put in place will mitigate that risk. And that work was successfully completed in April. So moving on to the exceptional event claims. So as I mentioned earlier, in July 2021, there was a fault at the National Grid site, resulting in the WADS protection system operating. And this gave rise to an unplanned outage of the transmission system, and an extended outage to get one of the circuits back that didn't perform quite as expected. Now the investigation that followed identified that there was a potential design and commissioning issue with the protection associated with that circuit. So the circuit tripped successfully and protected the asset from any damage. However, the measuring device called a current transformer that measures the current and effectively drives any protection system that follows behaved in an unusual way, and the investigations that followed have really tried to understand what the reason for this is. So what we do know is that the CT went into what's called saturation and didn't perform as expected. We believe this is the grounds of an exceptional event claim, and the availability that's lost as a result of that equipment performance is something that we can on August the 8th. We're now preparing the final documentation for submission to the regulator for a decision on the exceptional event claim. So if I can now move on to the availability. So the cumulative reported availability through to the 31st of July this year. I've just missed the second point on exceptional event claims. I also noted there was an unplanned outage in May 23 on circuit one following a voltage transformer protection fault. Now, as I've already noted, this equipment, the failure of such equipment is very rare, and we are undertaking a root cause analysis to understand and substantiate our exceptional event claim on this matter. We do estimate that the impact of the outages to perform this replacement was £1.1 million. And in the event that a claim was unsuccessful, would an impact on cash flows arising in the financial year ending March 2025. So on balance then, the cumulative reported availability through to the 31st of July 2023 since asset transfer has been 99.48%. And this assumes no exceptional event relief for outstanding claims, exceptional event relief applies to all outstanding claims. And so availability from the 1st of August 2022 being the day immediately following the end of availability period reported in the last investor presentation to the 31st of July 2023 was 98.13%, assuming no exceptional event relief for outstanding claims, or 99.92%, assuming full exceptional relief applies to those outstanding claims. So just a brief summary to underline the stakeholder relationships. We've maintained good relationships with the key counterparties, including National Grid Electricity Transmission, the system operator, and Ofgem, the authority, and the financial security trustee, and indeed Ørsted, the O&M contractors.
Okay, moving back to the financial performance, again, this stuff will be familiar to you from the investor report that we published for the period ending 30th of June. The senior debt structure is in place and is as expected. The outstanding bonds are 181.6 million. We've got RPI swaps in place for about 75% of the revenue stream. And the PBC letter of credit is still available to us for 15% of the bond principal, and that has been undrawn. The various key ratios are as reflected there, from which derive from the model as at the end of June. We continue to collect our monies from on behalf of WADs from National Grid Electricity System Operator in accordance with industry standards, and they settle them accordingly. With the exception of those additional costs associated with the voltage transformer replacement, which Mike has referenced, which is about 200,000, operating costs to the end of June were in line with budget. The impact of all outages on the performance year ending 23 is expected to reduce performance credits for the financial year ending March 25 by about 900,000 odd. as compared with the financial model assumptions. But as Mike has mentioned, that is subject to an exceptional event claim. A failure of a voltage transformer is extremely unusual, but is currently being it's being investigated, the root cause of that failure. So until we get that information, we are unable to make an assessment as to how that claim might go with Ofgem, but we have preserved our position by making such a claim. Payments to all key contractors continue made in accordance with the contractual payment terms. We've delivered all the financial information as required by the authority for the year ending 31st of March. No events of default has occurred. Debt service from financial close through to the end of June was 133.26 million. And as I mentioned earlier, the PBCE remains undrawn and the letter of credit stands at 27.2 million at the end of June. So I'll pass back to Mike as well for a brief discussion of the outlook and the priority over the next 12 months.
Okay, so some of this is just runs through from previous years, and you know the key bit here is maintain focus on health, safety, and environment during this and future years' operations. Clearly, we need to maintain high availability performance, and that remains a key priority, along with continued application of good industry practice and maintaining sound relationships with key stakeholders, including the O&M contractor. As we've discussed, the two exceptional event claims that we have outstanding need to be progressed and to closure, and that's another key priority. And the remaining one really is the decommissioning programme progression. So we are due to complete the 10-year review of the decommissioning programme by 2025. And typically this process will take about 12 months. And so we will be looking to progress that the back end of this financial year, so that we're in a good position for 2025. And so that remains or completes the key list of priorities.
So we now have the opportunity to invite any questions you may have. And as I think there was only one participant, in addition to the colleagues who are present to answer questions, maybe I could invite you to, if you have any questions, to raise them now.
Hi, thanks for taking my question, Kristen Tan from Rothsay. I guess just on the exceptional events claims for the outages, would you be looking at also lodging maybe an IAE for the cost recovery associated with sort of fixing those outages, or are you just looking at exceptional events for the availability portion?
So I think the nature of the license really allows us to pursue an allowance for the loss of availability. It doesn't through allow us to effectively pursue the rectification costs associated with that, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things is a relatively small proportion. So our main focus as far as that is concerned is availability.
Yeah, I mean, the minimum amount you can claim under that cost aspect of the licence is about £1 million, and we don't think we'll be anywhere near those sort of costs. So it will be essentially restricted to the availability claim.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And I guess one thing maybe I would be interested in getting your perspective on, we sort of have been seeing an industry that insurance, I guess, is getting increasingly expensive and more difficult to obtain. So I would be interested to hear your thoughts if you've been facing those similar challenges as well.
I don't think we've I mean, the insurance market does ebb and flow in terms of the challenges around that, but we haven't really observed anything what I'd regard as exceptional as far as the WADS transmission asset is concerned.
No, I mean, in fact, we're in a long-term agreement with the insurance underwriters in respect of the property damage components of the insurance programme. And that was negotiated last October, and that's a three-year deal, and we're just coming up to considering the renewal this year, but as it's a long-term agreement, we will.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
so I think it's, we think we're in a good place.
Thank you, that's really helpful. I think that was it for me in terms of questions.
Thank you.
Thank you for the update.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Otherwise, we will we'll end the presentation. Okay. No, thank you very much for joining. As I say, we will put the material on the website as soon as we can. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.